AM 1460 and all over the world at WVOX.com.
WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Sponsored exclusively today by the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, and your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. So if you're going through a transition, or are you concerned about your brand or someone else's brand, why don't give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And let's talk your brand through. 914-636-0110. 0110, or if you're email inclined, you can email us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And if you like to listen to past shows, or if you have a desire to listen again to Did You Know That, just go to www.brandtalkradio.com and go to the page that says Archived Shows, and there you have it. You will be able to experience as if it were live here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your dial. So today, what we're going to talk about is Ben and Jerry's new ice cream that seemed to get people yelling, screaming, and carrying on. If you haven't heard, Sweaty Balls is a ice cream flavor that's doing very, very well for Ben and Jerry's, despite a group in Mississippi that has other ideas. So let me tell you a little bit of the story of how I even became aware of this story. Oh, of course, I do read the papers, but I didn't think too much of it. I just kind of, when I saw the story, I said, that's wonderful. That's great. But there's nothing like somebody asking your opinion, folks, to make you want to espouse your theories on different subjects. So I got an email from my good friend Christopher at Fox News Live, and they asked me whether or not I would like to go on with my good friend Lauren Green and be interviewed about Ben and Jerry's new Sweaty Balls flavor, because there seemed to be a group down in Mississippi called A Million Moms that thought that this was reprehensible and terrible for the brand. How could a brand, how could people do such things? And so I went on and I gave one of my marketing and branding takes, and the story isn't really a story at all if one looks at it from a marketing and branding perspective, which is this. If you first of all, if you're not familiar with Sweaty Balls, and Saturday Night Live. This is a character that Alec Baldwin has made famous, and Ben and Jerry seize the moment on. And you see, the Ben and Jerry's are very, very creative because they know that ice cream is really an older person's sport, despite what you might think. Most ice cream is consumed by people over the age of 45, not by children, because children have a cap on how much they can, in fact, eat based on their grandparents and parents feeding them this great commodity. However, when you're an adult, you can eat as much as your belt or dress or shorts allows you to imbibe or take in. Anyway, so what happened is that Ben and Jerry's seized the moment and made a ice cream flavor based on this character. And if you ask Ben and Jerry's spokesperson, a gentleman by the name of Sean Greenwood, he has received a, quote, tremendous outpouring of support, unquote, since the launch of Sweaty Balls. And you got to understand that that our friends in Vermont, that is the Ben and Jerry's group, where they're originally from, they last year did something else that was kind of controversial, where they had they rolled out Hubby Hubby, celebrating gay marriage, and that also caused a stir. So you know that they have a way of getting attention. So anyway, Greenwood goes on to say that his customers get the joke and that the flavor is flying off the shelves. And the comments for and against are running about even, and that sales are still positive. But this group, as I mentioned, the $1 million, talk about me and my brands, right? It's 1 Million Moms, which is part of the Mississippi-based American Family Association, is unhappy. And their reaction and others have created a nationwide media furor. So this, you would think, is a bad thing. But just hear me out from the marketing perspective, and you can see why it's really such a creative promotion. Well, the group's point of view is that is the Million Moms' point of view, is that the flavor isn't what your kids are going to want to ask for in the supermarket. And, you know, they're correct. But in the end, you're missing the point, because bottom line, the 1 million moms and the interests that they represent aren't Ben and Jerry's target market or interests. That's right. They're not their customers. So if I could be so bold, who really cares about a million moms? As a matter of fact, by them screaming, yelling, and carrying on about it, they're getting more publicity so that their customers, Ben and Jerry's customers, that is, they're getting the joke, and they're buying more and more. So this is not a bad thing for Ben and Jerry's. So Ben and Jerry's target market either doesn't care about what 1 million moms say, or actually gets a kick out of the fact that Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor has rankled them. So Ben and Jerry knows its target market and its business, and for that, my hat goes off to them. And as I said, you have to understand, this product or ice cream, despite what you might think, is an older person's product. And even if it is a younger person's product from time to time, I think good parenting would allow you not to let your kid go to the supermarket and pick up that ice cream if you so desire. I mean, there still is chocolate and vanilla. And if you really want to get conservative, there's always vanilla. And you know what I always say about vanilla? Vanilla always makes the chocolate taste better. But vanilla, by the way, is the number one flavor, the number one choice of ice cream flavors. And I bet I could say, I bet you did not know that. Well, that's another section of the show. But anyway, so what Ben & Jerry's has achieved is what companies selling a product dream of. Massive free coverage of a launch simply by being a little provocative. This is really, really good. And by the way, if you think that I'm making this up in terms of Ben & Jerry just winging it, if you go to their Sweaty Balls landing page, you'll see what I mean. They know exactly what they were doing. And they weren't trying to hurt little children's feelings as much as what they were trying to do is be provocative. And in marketing and branding, you should never worry about being provocative, just as long as Tantillo's rule here, okay, concerning branding and marketing. Do no harm to your target market or your customers. Those are the people, whatever you want to do, you don't want to get angry at you. And we're going to talk a little bit about what pickle our good friends at Facebook are getting themselves into by not being that sensitive to their customers. So anyway, and what I also like to do here is to throw out one of my pet peeves that I'm trying to change the world about, and that's the traditional view of public relations, and try to jettison this concept, the traditional concept of public relations, and replace it with what I like to call targeted relations. And targeted relations means you worry about your target market. So if you're Ben & Jerry's, as I just said, what you don't want to do is get your customers angry at you. But if you get everybody else but your customers angry at you, that's good. And you shouldn't really worry about what I would call your non-target market folks. So you don't worry about the public, you worry about your customers. Or if you're a celebrity, you worry about your fans. And we'll talk more about that. So anyway, that's our story. And I just think that it's a great example of using marketing and branding effectively. So if you have an opinion on Ben & Jerry's ice cream, and you want to talk about that on air, or maybe email me. But if you want to talk about it on air, you can call me at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or you can, in fact, email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. So what we're going to do before I move along the show, I like to introduce our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership.
Folks, insurance is something that we usually don't like to talk about. But at the Whitmore Group, they know how. Whether it's for your business or your home, the Whitmore Group is the place to go. That's where I go for my insurance needs, and I never doubt that they're looking out for me. Simply put, with James Metzger at the helm and his excellent team, your insurance needs are always taken care of. Whether it's commercial property and casualty, personal or health insurance, estate planning, or financial services, the Whitmore Group is where a relationship is a partnership. 516-746-4141 is the number to call, 516-746-4141, or on the web at whitmoregroup.com. And tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
We're back. And you're listening to WVOX Radio, 1460 on the dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk, where branding gets personal. So I do want to do a little plug here, and and the only reason I'm doing the plug is I think you might enjoy seeing me when I am in Detroit, visiting my Detroit friends. In 2 weeks, from October the 9th through 11th, I'm going to be making a presentation to the IABC, the International Association of Business Communicators, and I'm going to be talking about this very issue of targeted relations. And we're going to talk about in-depth celebrity brands like Tiger Woods and Facebook and companies that have Apple and those companies that have done such a great job in knowing their customers, and also talk about those companies that don't. And I'm trying to get the public relations community to think about this concept of targeted relations. And if you would like to go, my friends in Detroit or the surrounding areas, if you like to attend, just email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com, and I'll make it happen should you like to come in. It's going to be on October the 11th, and it's a long one. I don't know if you would want to listen to me for 3 hours, but it will be fun. Look, folks, I used to teach statistics to undergraduates, which they were adolescents, and I had them saying, with Tantillo, you laugh and learn. So with the topics that are a little bit more enjoyable and not as technical, where you can really learn something about branding and bring it into your own life and your own branding life, I think you would it would be worth it if you're out that way. So don't be a stranger. Give me a email at doc@brandtalkradio.com if this is something you would like to do. So we should really time is moving along quite rapidly here. I have so much to talk about. I have a another Roosevelt. I have another Churchill Roosevelt story to tell. I have another Churchill story to tell. I want to get into Pan Am and whether or not I missed it this week because I was too busy watching Boardwalk Empire. I want to talk about Modern Family. And I also want to talk about Ashton Kutcher and 2 and a Half Men. Two reasons why we could talk about Ashton Kutcher, who is my celebrity brand, and what's going to happen if he is going to get this divorce that's reported in the media from Demi. What's going to happen to his brand? I think he'll be fine if he plays it right, because he's a very, very sophisticated guy. But that's all out there. But what are you doing here? You're listening to Dr. John Tantillo on Brand Talk here on WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. And if you'd like to give us a call, we're at 914-636-0110. So let's get into the winner and loser of the week. And I'm sure that this will get some folks talking. And you know that each week, folks, I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your own brand life. So without any further ado, let's talk about our winner this week being UBS. That's right, the bank. After so much government support and so much criticism, how could UBS be a winner? Well, I'm talking about the news that another rogue trader lost, not millions, folks. You know, when I was coming up, it was millions. Now it's billions for the bank. To be exact, $2.3 billion this rogue trader lost. But, you know, it's not, it's how you respond to the crisis. It's the crisis, of course, but how do you respond to the crisis? So anyway, their chief executive officer, Oswald Grubel, stepped down. And the board didn't want that to happen, but Grubel insisted. To me, folks, this is a great brand, great personal brand, Grubel, for doing this. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. And it should not surprise you that Grubel has a great reputation. And from everything that we know, this substantial trading loss was not his fault. But his move is decisive. And what this does, folks, is it sends a clear and healthy message. Even people at the top are accountable. Gee whiz. Wouldn't that be nice if somebody in the States here began to do those kinds of things? Well, anyway, banks have suffered in the last 2 years from many things, but the worst thing they've suffered from is from themselves. The unchecked perception of arrogant and untouchable management that sails through disasters that hurt the little guy without hurting the guys on top. But Grubel's resignation sends a different message. And not only that, it's the continuity, because Grubel's replacement, Sergio Almaty, said that who is now the interim CEO, but will probably be the permanent one, said, quote, "We want to turn this disaster into an opportunity." Finally, folks, some straight talk. Well, the rogue trade was a disaster, and for UBS to simply acknowledge it is refreshing and a confidence builder. But it's also Almaty's seizing the idea of positive transformation that needs to be applauded. The bank is going through is going further by outlining a review that would immediately reassess and aim to revamp risk controls while stepping up the pace on its restructuring. The key to crisis management is to deal with the problem directly, and that's exactly what they're doing. All I could say is congratulations to UBS for doing a bold and fresh thing. That's what I was. I didn't want to use thing. That's too Queens. There's nothing wrong with Queens. I'm from Queens. But I wanted to be. What I wanted to do was find the right word. A great tactical management tactical tool. Okay, so. Now let's get to Facebook. Oh, this is going to be fun. And if you have any ideas about Facebook, why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. You're listening to Dr. John Tantillo on Brand Talk here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your dial. Or you might want to email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. So let's talk a little bit about Facebook. And it seems that, well, there's no question that Facebook is one of the leading technology companies in the world. And here, this guy Tantillo is mentioning that it's a loser. But you got to understand that I am a believer that brands are made and not born. And each decision made by a brand that flies in the face of what one's target market wants is a bad one. And bad decisions erode brands. And a series of bad decisions can destroy them or can destroy a brand. Unfortunately, there are bad decisions, and then there are bad decisions. And this is why Facebook is our loser of the week. Not only has it recently decided to launch a new layout that very few people like, right? I'm one of those people that don't like to, initiate change on my technology unless it's gradual, because then I got to relearn it all over again, even though it's going to be better. Okay, leave me do it my way, all right? But anyway, the problem is here is that the founder, Zuckerberg, it might be playing things a little too close to the vest and using his approach to the world to satisfy customers' needs, which probably isn't what his customers want. And there's a problem over at Facebook that employees called Zuckerberg's Law, and that the law basically holds that the amount of personal information people share about themselves doubles each year. And Facebook's mission is to get their users to share as much personal information as possible. And this is a not a very, very good thing. And so what Zuckerberg wants to do, and not necessarily his clients or customers want, is to, well, Zuckerberg wants the information that his clients have, and clients aren't really up for giving this. And so he is devising, or has devised, a number of these like little techniques for making it easier to give up this information. And one is this timeline that is causing all sorts of difficulty. And what we're going to do when we come back after our break is to talk about this timeline and take more of your calls. Back in 2 minutes.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Lucero. Michael Jackson's former personal assistant taking the stand at the trial of Dr. Conrad Murray, telling the jury about an urgent phone call he fielded from the doctor.
He said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm downtown." And he said, "Get here right away. Mr. Jackson had a bad reaction. Get here right away." And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Get somebody up here immediately."
Murray on trial for involuntary manslaughter. The alleged mastermind of the attack on the USS Cole about to go to trial in a military court.
The news came in the form of a letter to survivors of the Cole attack as well as the families of the victims. It notified them the charges against Abdelrahim al-Nashiri are being referred to a military commission. It also informed them that prosecutors would seek the death penalty if al-Nashiri is convicted of the attack nearly 11 years ago that killed 17 sailors.
Fox Radio's Mike Makowicz. Fox News. We report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County in the vicinity for this afternoon, the coastal flood advisory. Cloudy showers likely, some heavy, highs are climbing to the lower 70s. Percent chance of showers tonight with some patchy fog, overnight lows into the middle 60s. Showers likely once again on Thursday, with at least a thunderstorm with some heavy downpours as well. Highs will climb into the middle 70s, becoming partly sunny later Friday. Friday's highs into the lower 70s. Looks sunny and dry for the weekend, with highs only in the lower 60s. Steve Pelletieri Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
The days are getting shorter and the weather's getting cooler.
Erroneous! Erroneous on both counts!
Well, everyone agrees that the best place to spend autumn is right here. VOX.
1460 WVOX.
We're back here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and you're listening to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal, here on WVOX AM Radio, 1460 on your dial. And if you'd like to give us a call, We're now talking about a loser of the week, Facebook. Everybody's got something to say about Facebook these days. But if you want to share those opinions with us, we're at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or give us a email at doc@brandtalkradio.com. You might even want to talk about Ben & Jerry's, whether or not you're a fan of Ben & Jerry's. You may or may not be. Well, give us a call. Let's share your thoughts, your ideas. And there you go. Let's see. What do we have here? Do we have an email? No, we don't have an email. I thought we had an email. Okay. So we were talking about when we last left the episode. We were talking about Facebook and the timeline and as a way of perhaps generating information or trying to get, what is it, friends or participants on the website to, in fact, give up this information. But The Economist points out that they don't feel that that at this particular point it's being the content or information is force fed, but there is a danger, and that's what you have to be very, very careful about. So this whole idea of privacy has also been taken up a notch, where it has now been reported that reported by the Canadian Broadcasting Company, that corporation actually, that's CBC, at 11:01, the headline reads that was just printed today at 11:01 a.m. Is Facebook following your online behavior? This isn't good, folks. And Fox reported it today around 1:26 that Facebook may be involved in this, and they are denying that that is true. I certainly hope it is true. There is this one fellow from who is a tech guru by the name of Nick Kubrilovic, who is suggesting that they're leaving cookies on people's computers. That is Facebook. So stay tuned if that is the the situation. The point here is that you, whether or not you're Facebook, whether or not you're MySpace, whether or not you're Apple, the secret here is to know your customers. Look at Ben & Jerry's. Know your customers. Be good to your customers. And don't take advantage of your customers. And never betray their trust. And if this is what Facebook is doing, by the way, next week they'll be the loser again. Unless... And this is always great about marketing and branding. They can recoup by doing the right thing, by removing cookies, by admitting guilt and making a commitment to their customers that that they'll never do that again. Should that be the case? We're not saying that they are. We're just saying that this is the speculation that's out there. And if you want to talk a little bit about that, 914-636-0110 is a number here on WVOX Radio, Brand Talk, and you'll be speaking with Dr. John Tantillo, your brand coach. So we're back here, and I just last week was really a great television week, because my show Modern Family had their premiere season, and they did not disappoint. And you know, I talk about first of all, the great thing about television, right, about television, in terms of situation comedies and what they call sitcoms, is the writing. And I don't care what anyone says. Reality TV is fun. It's good. It has its place. But you can't beat the writing on television. And I wasn't a big fan of 30 Rock, but the writing at 30 Rock was good. The writing on this show is good. And it all and on television, it's all about the characters. And these flawed characters on this show, Modern Family, you just gotta love them and feel for them. And if you don't watch the show, I think you're missing something. I'm not gonna advocate you watch it. I just think you're missing something. And if you'd like to talk about it, give us a call, 914-636-0110, and you can disagree with me. That's what we're here for. So that's one idea. And the other one that came back is on HBO, Boardwalk Empire. And somebody says to me, my good friend Joe Santoro, he says, well, you must like the show because of all the great costumes or the great suits he wears. And I must say he wears great. Nucky wears some great suits. So we'll deal with that in just a few. But now it's time for the perennial crowd favorite, Dr. John Tantillo's Did You Know That? Did You Know is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Hedy Lamarr was one of the legendary beauties of Hollywood's golden age. MGM's dazzling star, who was responsible for Samson and Delilah, the highest-grossing movie of 1949, and decades of hits. But there were brains behind the beauty. You see, Hedy Lamarr had an interesting history before she reached the silver screen. Her first husband, Frederick Mandel, was a European arms manufacturer. Hedy was his arm candy. He forced her to accompany him to his every meeting. Eventually, she ran away to America, but what Mandel didn't realize was that Lamarr was listening and learning about the science of weapons, aided by her brilliant mathematical mind. On the eve of World War II, determined to help the Allies defeat the Germans, Lamarr and a composer friend had a revelation. Discussing the problems of how the enemy could jam radio-controlled torpedoes, they developed a sophisticated system to solve it that used the mechanics of the player piano. Unfortunately, the U.S. military dismissed their idea. Lamarr was just a starlet, after all. What could she possibly know? As it turned out, plenty. By 1962, the military had recognized Lamarr's smarts. Her idea was called frequency hopping, and it is a critical part of everything from cell phones to intercontinental missiles to your computer's wireless network. And now you can say, yes, I know that. Now a word from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. I've known James Metzger, the Whitmore Group CEO, for years. I'm a client and a friend, and I have seen how he fights for his clients and strives to meet their genuine insurance needs. Folks, it's bad to pay for insurance you don't need, but it's worse to think you're protected and then find out you're not. You want the right kind of professionals having your back. The Whitmore Group has your back. It's where a relationship is a partnership. Their number, 516-746-4141, 516-746-4141, or visit them on the web at whitmoregroup.com and tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
We're back, and you're listening to Brand Talk here on WVOX AM Radio 1460 on your dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm your host. And if you are going through a transition, or you just want to take stock of your life, or you may have an opinion on Ben & Jerry's ice cream, you may have a opinion on Rock, 30 Rock, a Modern Family, maybe Ashton Kutcher, whoever it is, give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. We have a caller on the line. What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hey, I'm Charlie. I'm from Long Island.
Yes, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. Been listening to the show today.
Yes.
I just had some comments about the Facebook, and I guess about the Schwitty balls as well.
Yes. What do you think of Schwitty? What do you think about Schwitty balls?
What do I think?
Yes.
I don't know what to think, but I think it's interesting that you were saying not to disregard the million moms because they weren't part of the target market.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that side of it for me is how do you know those people aren't part of the target market? I would think that the ice cream market is pretty broad, and ice cream is being bought by people.
You are good.
Spectrum.
That is an excellent question, and the only way you know that is by going out and confirming it through research, market research, and finding out whether or not. And according to their spokesperson, I think they did that. And their sales, I mean, your point is, yeah, the sales were good and strong, but maybe they would have done four times the amount of sales if it wouldn't have been called that. But there's something, go ahead. No.
No, I think the controversy surrounding the whole thing has certainly given them a short-term boost, and the mm-hmm. product's going to move because of that.
Sure.
But I think your question is really about what does that do to their long-term brand, you know, and if they're alienating the right-wing public, does that, you know, what does that do to them in the long run?
Okay.
Does that just kind of blow over?
Have you gone to their website, Charlie?
No.
Charlie, it is very, very progressive, and I will leave it at that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they give two hoots about what other people think. And you are correct. With most packaged goods companies, you want to do no harm. But these two guys are really activist types. And they are from Vermont, you know. You know, you shouldn't do the winters unless you do the summers, you know that. You shouldn't do the summers unless you do the winters. I got that. I messed that one up. Bada bing. I need a symbol here to accentuate that. But the point I'm making is that this company is a very. It's not as broad based. This isn't Breyers. Okay. This is a very what they call a niche. It's a niche brand and. A few years ago, there was some one of my Facebook friends, Kenneth Molina, had mentioned, gave me an email message or put on my if you go to my Brand Talk wall, you'll see this that I think a few years ago they made a statement that they were natural and there was some question about that. There was some controversy. I don't know if it ever got settled, but. The point I'm making is that they like to, as I like to say, churn the kettle or churn the bucket.
Churn the pot.
Okay. Do we churn the pot in ice cream? I was trying to use an ice cream metaphor. But anyway, so I do think that this brand... this company has that kind of a progressive bent to it. And what I found very interesting is they even have a landing page that talks about, it's called the Sweaty Balls, page. I have problems even saying something like that, but anyway, I'm saying it. They have a page, and it talks about how successful the brand is. And on the page, it gives their mission statement and gives a link to what kind of a company they are. So they really, if anything, these guys really know their brand. And for that, you gotta tip their hat to them. So what about Facebook?
Yeah, interesting.
What about Facebook? What do you think about them putting cookies on one's computer and tracking where they're going? Do you think that's a problem?
I don't. Well, it remains to be seen what happens, but I think it's a non-issue for the most part.
Why?
They need to put cookies on your computer in order to operate, and there's no difference of opinion about that. There's a question about whether a particular couple of cookies could have been deleted earlier, and they stayed on the system. I don't think anybody's really sure whether they collected any information.
You
were off their site.
But
they said they didn't.
Now here we go. I'll have to say this. Do you think it's a public relations problem, or using the Tantillo term, a targeted relations problem?
Well,
that's the issue.
Take the same approach as you did with the sweaty balls. I mean, could you say? I mean, their market is not. Their market of users are all the people using it, and not these analysts or these privacy
advocates
who are scrutinizing every website to look for problems like that. More interesting, though, is the change of their interface, which is radical.
Right.
Which is going to initially bother most people using it, but the question is, what's going to happen a year from now?
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're introducing is another level of data that's going to become public about everybody. You know, they're collecting information, they're displaying information about recent things you've done, books you've liked and
you've
seen or things you've done. But what they're going to be doing is making all the historical information more instantly available and kind of organizing it for you.
Right.
Which is kind of cool in a way that they're going to create a timeline. So, you know, the day you were married and, you know, events
sure.
in your life will have
sure.
Pages around
it. Yeah, I don't see a problem just as long as people are aware. And I think that's really what the issue here is. If people are made aware that this information is going to be tracked and assimilated, so that what will happen is your ease at which you can navigate through the website is going to be quicker, because what you will have, you will already want because of your past behavior. I don't necessarily see a problem with it. It's my only problem, and please chime in or disagree with me if you want, and that is, do I want that, or is my privacy being in fact invaded? And it might not be only techie people. I mean, there are certain people, like, for example, I took the year that I was born, not because I'm vain. Everybody knows I'm 3 years old. I'm 60 years old. But the point is that I didn't want the exact address because not the exact birth date, because it could compromise some of my personal data, right?
You put the year you were born, but not the actual date.
No, the date. And actually, I had on there June 29th, 1951, and I just took down the 1951 and put the June 29th on there.
Oh, right.
And I got a little bit of jazzing from friends of mine telling me how vain I am, and I'm not vain at all.
Well, you're being careful about
it. I'm just being very careful about certain. I mean, that's not what I need at this particular point in my life. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, there are two really big pieces to what Facebook just announced. One is that the interface is going to change, and they'll make some of the data more easily accessible, but basically the interface has changed.
Right.
And that's going to bother people, everybody in the beginning, but they didn't bother to ask their target market.
Exactly, and that's our point.
It was better for them.
That's exactly right.
But the other side of what they announced is the fact that they're going to begin collecting multiples of the amount of information they collected before, voluntarily. So right now, a couple of years ago, they introduced the like button,
yes.
The ability for people to say they liked the book or liked the movie or liked somebody's comment. Now what they're going to be doing is letting people voluntarily opt in to have everything they do recorded. So if you read 10 books over the course of a year, and you only liked one, before you only had one on record, now it's going to show that you read 10 books or listen to 10,000 songs or watched 100 movies. And that people will voluntarily load applications that are going to feed into Facebook what they're doing.
Right.
And over the course of years, that's going to be part of this new timeline.
Yeah.
But the amount of data points that Facebook is collecting is just exponentially increasing.
Right. Well, I do know that as my likes, this is very rudimentary. I like Frank Sinatra music, and I also like Tony Bennett music. And on my wall and on my homepage, there will be ads for, you know, Frank Sinatra music or Tony Bennett music. So I mean, I've experienced this, and I'm sure a lot of my friends have experienced those kinds of customized ads, which is
So the final point is, with them collecting information about what music you're listening to on a streaming basis and what movies you're watching, with all this extra information they're collecting about you, they're going to be able to target, you know, the ads and the offers they make to you.
Sure.
Do they need to have this secret cookie out there collecting a few other web pages you go to? Probably not. I mean, people are just voluntarily giving them all this data.
Yeah.
So do something secretive would be nuts.
Right. So you think this is all a lot about nothing, which is interesting because, you know, media folks kind of this story is beginning to appears to be have legs. So that yesterday there was a story in the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Today there's one. Fox mentioned it during the day. It's not the cover-up. It's how you respond to the cover-up. And I guess that's what we're going to see here is what the good folks at Facebook are going to do. And it's very interesting. They should have you, I guess, as their their spokesperson, because you don't really see an issue here, and I wonder if our other listeners feel the same way. You're entitled to your opinion, and I'm kind of understanding where you're coming from. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Well, I think it's a non-issue, but I also think the upfront announcements they made are even bigger, and they're going to have an even bigger impact than even if they did collect extra money with the cookies.
Yeah. Well, you did hear about their one glitch where you could see who defriended you. That was a algorithm issue. That was a problem that they had. So you could Fox reported that just yesterday or the day before. So there's a few things. It's not the good week to be in Facebook land, I would say. There are these issues that are beginning to come about. So,
yeah, so it's not the things they're intentionally doing, like if they had secret cookies. It's the amount of data they have and all the accidents, like
the accidents still can get you into trouble. Just ask the people at BP. I don't think they intentionally wanted that to be an oil spill, right? But when and the question is, how do you do that? Charlie, really great to hear from you. Always great. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Well, are you listening to WVOX Radio? This is 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo. And if you'd like to give us a call in these last few moments, 914-636-0110. With that great call from Charlie, we always love hearing from you. And that was really very provocative interchange. And please don't be afraid to give us a call, and so we can talk more about this. But I don't know how many of you. I was pretty shocked about Hedy Lamarr, but a friend of mine, who my friend Frank, his brand is he knows everything about entertainment. And when I mentioned Hedy Lamarr, he said, "Oh, you're not going to mention the fact that she discovered, you know, the internet, are you?" I said, "Oh, there's no. Is there anything you don't know?" And anyway, but the in the last few moments here, I just like to say that what we can learn about from this story is that inventors are made and not born, and that Hedy Lamarr had this need that to do something good for her country, and she did it. And you got to admire that. And that brands sometimes are multifaceted, and she was multifaceted. And folks, well, that's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for stopping by, and remember that it's always easier when you have your brand in mind.
This is Free Radio, the best entertainment money can't buy.
Makes you proud to be an American.
AM 1460 WVOX and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. A suspected plot to attack the U.S. Capitol and the Pentagon.